Despite Jig's hopes, the tunnel had taken them farther and farther down, following a relatively straight line through the rock. They were trapped between the ogres and the pit. The pit itself was visible now, a black shadow at the end of the tunnel. Jig stood to one side, staring at the darkness as if he could somehow transform it into a bridge or a ladder. Vika moved past him, keeping her head and shoulders high to project an air of confidence. She beckoned to Slash.
Come with me.
Crumbling, sloping rock marked the end of the tunnel. The ground tilted downward, and it would have been easy for Vika to lose her footing and fall. Bracing the end of her staff against the opposite wall, she pressed her other hand to the stone and crept forward until she could see out into the pit. Orange light from Slash's nose barely reached the far side of the pit. The wind rushed downward as it passed the tunnel entrance. Slash stopped a few paces back. Vika leaned forward and looked up, trying to see how high the pit went. The pit itself seemed to extend as far upward as it did down. A good 30 or so feet up, a dark shape arched over the center of the pit. That would be the bridge at the center of the Necromancer's maze. This last tunnel had sloped deeper down than she had realized.
Bring your nose closer.
Slash took a half step, then folded his arms, refusing to take another. Vika squinted, trying to make out the details of the bridge. She could see square gaps where the blocks or tiles or whatever they were had fallen loose. But the bridge itself still appeared to be stable. All they had to do was reach it.
The ogres will be here soon. If you're through sightseeing, maybe we ought to figure out how to fight them.
Vika ignored Grell, setting her staff to one side as she yanked the pages of her spellbook from her pocket. The pages rustled and slapped her hands in the wind, fighting to escape. But she held tight until she found the burned page with her levitation charm. She tucked that page beneath her arm and shoved the rest back into her pocket. Slash had turned away, but he was still bright enough for her to skim the words that hadn't been seared away. A quick binding spell to tap into the magic. A second to anchor the spell to her staff.
Another straightforward bit of sympathetic magic, with the magical component providing the necessary leverage.
Whatever that meant. She tucked the page back into her cloak pocket, grabbed her staff, and mentally finished the charm. Slash's head bounced against the roof of the tunnel. He kept floating and bobbing.
Vika, if we're going to fight the ogres, we need that hobgoblin!
Not yet! I'm not ready!
A twitch of her staff shot Slash out of the tunnel and into the pit. Slash's arms and legs whirled as if he were trying to swim through the air itself. Vika slowly spun her staff, rotating him until he was facing the tunnel.
What are you doing?
Saving our lives! Vika cast the charm again. Nothing happened. She tried a second time, tracing the binding with her free hand, then connecting Braff to her staff. He should have floated out to join Slash in the pit. She had done the spell correctly. Why wasn't he flying? Jig pointed to Slash.
You're doing that?
Yes!
Jig glanced at the approaching light, then back at Slash. Sliding his sword into its sheath, he moved to the end of the tunnel.
I hate magic.
When he reached the end, he braced himself and leaped. His arms clamped around Slash's waist, his legs locked around the hobgoblin's knees.
Get over me, you stupid goblin!
Don't squirm! Do you want me to bite you to keep you from falling?
Slash stopped moving. A wise choice, given where Jig's face had ended up.
Bring him closer to the tunnel! If we outpile onto Slash, can you float us up to the bridge?
Grell, you go next.
Grell tucked her canes through her belt and limped to the edge of the tunnel. Vika twitched her staff, bringing Slash and Jig closer. Closer. Slash stretched out his arms, trying to reach the rock. Vika spun him around again. His head rapped against the stone.
None of that, you!
Vika lowered him a bit, and Grell half-stepped, half-skidded off the edge.
No!
Her arms circled Slash's neck, and one of her feet kicked Jig in the ear.
Ow! Vika! We have a problem!
A flick of Vika's staff moved them to one side as she peered into the pit. Far below, a giant bat flew toward them, its huge wings flapping hard against the wind. Two ogres came into view, One pointed a crude wooden spear at Vega and Broth.
You there, Goblin. We've come for Jig Dragonslayer.
Jig? You want Jig? I'm the one doing all the work.
Beside Vega, Broth squeezed past to leap onto Slash.
Vega, the bat!
Why do you want Jig?
That's not your concern, Goblin.
The two ogres began to move forward. The pixie still hadn't shown herself.
Vega, stop playing around and do something about this bat!
The other ogre shoved past his companion.
Jig is dire in the pit. Kill the fat goblin and grab him before he escapes.
The bat was here, its wings adding to the wind as it hovered beside Slash and the others. Feet with claws as long as a hand stretched toward Braff. He dangled at the bottom of the group, clinging to his hook tooth, which was hooked through Slash's belt. Braff kicked uselessly, nearly dislodging himself.
Jig, help!
Vika tilted her staff, flinging Slash and the goblins aside. At the same time, she reached out with her other hand, her fingers curled into claws. Magic swirled through her arms as she bound the bat to herself, forcing the binding spell into the bat's body until her power pulsed through every vein, every bone, every drop of blood. Like a magical web, her will closed around the bat, controlling its every motion. Vika closed her eyes and leaped from the tunnel. She could still see, using the bat's own senses. To the bat, Vika was a sharply defined shadow arching into the emptiness, and it was a simple matter to fly beneath and catch her. She clung with one hand to the bony edge of the wing where it joined the body. Pulling herself up, she pressed her knees into the bat's side. Wings pounded, moving them away from the tunnel. Vika opened her eyes, seeing others both with her own vision and with the colorless shadow senses of the bat. She had absolutely no idea how she had cast that last spell. The bat tilted to one side, fighting to break free of her control. It didn't appear to be going after Slash and the others anymore. It simply wanted to get away. And it wanted to be rid of the goblin clinging to its back.
No! Fly up to the bridge, you stupid bat!
Vika moved her staff, floating the others higher. Why wouldn't the bat obey?
Of course! It can't understand me! I have to control its actions!
The bat was a stupid animal. All she had to do was start it moving, and the bat would keep going until something changed its mind. Something like bait. She made the bat raise its head, fixing its attention on Slash and the others. At the same time, she increased the speed of its wings, forcing it higher.
You want to eat them, you ugly, filthy, smelly creature! Eat them!
Slowly, the bat seemed to get the idea. A spear flew past, barely missing Vika's arm as the bat flew upward. The ogres stood at the edge of the tunnel, staring. Vika moved Slash higher, twitching him back and forth to keep the bat's interest.
That's right! You're hungry! You'd rather eat a good meal than worry about me!
Hurry up, goblin! My legs and shoulders are killing me, and if that fool Braff keeps squirming, I'm gonna lose my trousers!
In a moment of inspiration, Vika moved them toward the wall of the pit, directly above the ogres. If the ogres leaned out to try to throw their spears, they would probably fall into the pit. As long as Vika kept them close to the wall, they should be safe.
Unless the pixie comes out after us!
They were about halfway to the bridge when a flicker of motion caught her eye. She closed her eyes, allowing the bat's senses to take over. She spotted another crack in the wall, a tunnel immediately ahead of Slash and the goblins. Standing at the edge of the tunnel, an ogre flung a thin line into the pit. A loop of rope settled around Slash and the others, drawing them toward the tunnel. Before she could react, a second rope flew out, cinching her to the bat. She could feel the bat fighting to breathe as the rope tightened around its throat. She tried briefly to goad the bat into flying back, dragging the ogre into the pit, but the bat was already tired from carrying Vika, and it was too panicked to obey. The harder it struggled to breathe, the faster it used what little air remained in its lungs. Soon, Vika found herself swinging toward the rock, tied to an unconscious bat. The bat hit first, cushioning the impact. She twitched her staff, trying to use her levitation charm on Slash to drag the other ogre down, but they were too strong. So be it. Fighting was more heroic than fleeing any day. She tightened her grip on her staff and prepared for battle. Normally, Jig was good at considering his options and discovering the best way out of whatever situation he had been flung into. He was finding that much more difficult now, as the ogre's rope squished his face against Slash's hard leather vest. He glanced at Vika. Given what she had already done, she might be even more dangerous than the ogres and pixies. At the moment, though, the ogre's second rope had her face pressed against the back of the strangling bat. Jig doubted she could cast a spell with a mouthful of bat fur. That meant Braff was their best hope. Perhaps hope wasn't the right word. Dangling from his hook tooth, Braff had been low enough that the rope only caught his wrists. He had been wiggling and squirming ever since the ogres pulled them into the tunnel. Braff yanked himself loose and dropped to the ground. Jig and the others floated slightly upward as Braff fell. Unfortunately, Braff had left his weapon hooked through Slash's belt. That didn't seem to bother him.
Set the others free, ogres, before I...
The closer of the ogres, the female tugged her rope.
Whoa!
Jig, Slash, and Grell were yanked forward. They crashed into Braff from behind. Braff stumbled forward, directly into the path of the ogre's fist. He slammed into the wall and slid to the floor. The female ogre grinned and scooped him up, tucking him under one arm. She hadn't even bothered to release the rope. The male ogre followed them into the darkness, dragging Vika and the bat along the ground behind him. Jig did his best to protect himself as he bounced off the walls and ceiling. He couldn't use his arms, but he kept his feet out to absorb the impact when he could. Jig wrinkled his nose. Wherever this tunnel led, it stank worse than any part of the mountain Jig was familiar with. A smell of rotting garbage and burned meat. Small brown-shelled insects scurried away, avoiding the light.
These ogres don't seem to be possessed like Sashi or the ones with that pixie who were chasing you through the tunnels.
That's good.
Oh, don't get me wrong. They're just as likely to kill you.
Jig didn't answer. He closed his eyes, trying to orient himself. Once they had gone far enough from the pit for the wind to die down, the ogres stopped. The female pushed Grell with one finger, rotating the group. Jig was starting to feel motion sick. The light from Slash's nose illuminated moldy rock, and ground so caked with mud and dust the stone beneath was invisible. The female ogre tugged them closer, so Jig could see the pine-colored freckles on her leathery face. The male ogre was larger than his companion, a hulking brute whose hair hung in dirty braids past his shoulders.
Do something about that nose!
Unless you want to lead the pixies to us.
I don't need your help, Einar.
Oh, don't be like that, cousin. I was...
Just because you're older doesn't mean you can...
Look, Grandma, I'm only trying to help.
Arnor tossed Vika and the bat to one side and stepped toward his companion. Dumping Braff on the ground, Rama used her free hand to draw an enormous blade from a curved leather sheath on her belt. There was no handle. Oversized finger holes pierced the base of the crescent blade. She slipped it on like a glove, so the edge covered her knuckles, and shoved the blade towards Slash's face.
Like I told you, I don't need your help.
Threaten her, not me. She's the one who did this to me.
Rama handed the rope to her cousin. With one hand, she hauled both Vika and the bat into the air.
Release us! Then I'll consider your request!
Rama pressed the edge of the blade against the knot of the rope. Both Vika and the bat dropped to the ground. Moments later, Jig and the others had been cut free as well. Vika stood, brushing dirt and fur from her robes. Rama tugged Slash down by the ankle.
End the spell! Or I'll slice the nose from his face.
Vika grinned. She was actually thinking about defying two ogres.
Stop fooling around, girl. I'd bet my canes there are more ogres farther down this tunnel. All it will take is one with a crossbow to put an end to your wizarding nonsense. If you're so eager to die, run back and throw yourself in the pit. Don't take the rest of us with you.
Oh, very well. Grell walked to the side of the tunnel and eased herself down.
Goblin trying to be a wizard. Never heard of anything so ridiculous.
Well, the longer he shines, the greater our danger.
I'm trying.
Vika picked up her staff and pointed it at Slash.
The spell...
I'm having a little trouble, that's all.
She reached into her cloak and grabbed the ragged pages of her spell book.
It's not... the binding, it's stronger than... I'm trying. Let me find the right page.
No skin off my nose, so to speak.
No, wait. Move me toward the goblin. Let me talk to her.
The ogre gave him a shove, sending him floating toward Vika.
What do you intend to do? You're no wizard. Oh.
Slash's heel caught her square in the forehead. Her head smashed into the stone and she slumped to the ground. The light vanished. Slash's body came crashing down.
If you'll give us a little more time, we'd be happy to finish incapacitating ourselves, and then you can do with us whatever you'd like.
The ogres picked up Slash and the two unconscious goblins.
Follow! Try to escape and I'll beat you to death with your own wizard.
Where are we going?
We're taking you to meet my mother.
Despite the darkness, the ogres navigated the tunnel without a single misstep. They had been living here for a while then. The tunnel followed no pattern, veering left and right, upward and downward, all seemingly at random. Though the aches in Jig's thighs and hamstrings suggested they were walking mostly uphill.
Hold! We don't want our guests to die before they meet Aunt Truckle.
Rama jogged ahead.
You little... Ursh! Gotcha.
Are my ears failing me, or did your friend just tangle with a rock serpent?
They like to hunt these tunnels. They give one another space, but there's always a few between here and camp.
The ogres knocked two more rock serpents out of the way before they reached the end of the tunnel. Jig could see the orange flames of torches.
Who's there?
Arnor!
Rama!
Fetch my mother!
They had stopped at a wide, arched opening before a cavern. For an instant, Jig thought they had somehow returned to the goblin lair, but the smell alone was enough to dispel that idea. He turned to his left. Straum's caverns should be in that direction, somewhere beneath them. A few small fires brightened the cave, but the putrid smoke was enough to make him gag. Most of it pooled at the top of the cavern before flowing through a crack to Jig's left. Thick columns of obsidian were scattered throughout the cavern. The ogres had built crude shelters at several of the larger columns, stringing rag curtains for privacy. Jig guessed there couldn't be more than a dozen ogres living here. Arnor dropped Braff. He landed hard on the ground.
What is that stench?
Rama pointed to an open doorway at the far side of the cavern. Bits of wooden framing and rusted hinges still clung to the stone.
The pit you goblins use to dispose of your waste passes close to this cavern. Some of it is worth burning.
Even goblin dung burns if it's dried first.
The speaker was an older, hunchbacked ogre, presumably Arnor's mother. Her knuckles were swollen and calloused.
Aunt Truckle!
We found these goblins fleeing the pixies. Rama and I spotted them coming up the pit, and...
I said we should kill them, but he...
You told us you wanted to know of anything strange at the pit. This...
Shut up, both of you!
Sorry, Aunt Truckle.
Sorry, Mother.
I told you I wanted to know what was happening at the pit. I didn't say you should bring goblins into our homes.
Braff pointed to Slash.
Well, he's a hobgoblin. Ow!
They were coming up the pit. I thought we could question them to learn what's happening back home.
They were running away from the pixies, so you thought you'd lead them straight to us?
I told you, Arnor!
And you went along with them!
Do you want me to-
No, I can-
Shut up!
Jig grabbed Braff by the arm.
Get behind me.
Braff stared. Jig pulled his sword, swiping the blade past Braff's face so he stumbled away. Jig spun around, waving his sword back and forth at the three ogres.
Just kill him and be done with it. Leave the bodies by the pit. Make it look like they turned on one another.
That won't work. The pixies will never believe we just killed each other for no reason.
Sure they will. We're goblins. But they won't believe it when Braff runs screaming down the tunnel. Go, Braff! Grell and I will slow down the ogres. You tell the pixies they miss some ogres. They'll probably retreat through one of those tunnels on the far side of the cavern. I'm sure the pixies will be fast enough to catch them. That way, we all die.
Mom?
Arnor pulled out his axe. Beside him, Rama drew her weapon and stepped sideways. Grell limped forward, and swung her cane against Rama's blade.
You wait right there until your aunt tells you what to do, girl.
The pixies will kill you anyway. They plan to kill every last thing in this mountain. My boy here will make it quick. Put away that sword and he and my niece will finish all three of you before you can feel it.
You take your ogres to safety. I'll take care of the pixies.
You're going to fight the pixies?
You must have knocked this one on the head when you caught him, cousin.
Oh, how exactly do you intend to do that? We saw what they did to our people, and you're nothing but a goblin runt.
No, I'm Jig Dragon Slayer.
Jig Dragon Slayer?
That's right.
He's the one who...
I know who he is. You're shorter than I imagined. You're no ordinary goblin, that much is obvious. Most of you would have either run away or charged in like idiots. Go on then, fight the pixies.
Jig lowered his sword.
Maybe we should wake up Vika and Slash. Vika's magic would help against the pixies. Maybe she could fling the hobgoblin at them.
Not with the pixies controlling them. More likely she'll fling us all into the pit.
Jig could feel Smudge growing warmer. Slowly, Jig realized what he had just said.
These two are pixie charmed? Kill them all!
Wait, we can tie them up.
The pixies can see through their eyes.
We'll blindfold them. Even if they woke up, they wouldn't know where they were or how they got here.
Oh, they'll know we exist. That's enough.
What if...
Oh, for Straum's sake, you know what you have to do, Jig.
I can't.
That's your problem.
Grell pushed Jig to one side and grabbed the sword from his hand.
Sorry about this, Hobgoblin. At least it'll be quick.
Grell shoved the blade into Slash's chest. Slash jerked once, then his head dropped to the ground. Grell lost her grip on the sword and stumbled back. She would have fallen if Braff hadn't caught her shoulders.
A shame. He wasn't such a bad sort. For a hobgoblin? Otherwise they'll kill us all, Chief! Now, are you going to take care of Vika? Or do I have to do that too?
Jig, heal the hobgoblin.
Should have stayed on brat duty.
Jig, heal the hobgoblin.
I didn't know Grell was going to kill him, but you can't blame her for...
He's not dead yet, and the spell dissipated the instant your blade pierced his chest.
Jig stared at Slash's body. His sword stuck up from the hobgoblin's chest like a skewer in one of Golaka's barbecued rat kebabs.
So all we have to do to break the pixie's spell is stab the victims?
Now, Jig!
Jig moved forward until he stood in the puddle of blood seeping from Slash's body. He knelt, cutting his fingers on his own sword as he probed the wound. In the corner of his vision, he could see the ogres reaching for him.
No, no, let me help him!
Jig ripped the sword free, and blood spurted like a miniature fountain onto his hands and arms. He put both hands over the wound, feeling hot blood cover his fingers and seep onto the ground.
Bring that torch closer.
What are you doing?
A new kind of heat flowed through Jig's limbs, past the blood and into Slash's body.
Grell missed the heart, but she nicked one of the arteries. This is going to require a bit of precision. Put your fingers inside the wound.
Jig closed his eyes and pressed two fingers through the skin. Something scratched the back of his finger.
Is that bone? And what is that pulsing thing pressing against my knuckle?
Ah, got it!
The flow of blood slowed. Jig slid his fingers free and wiped them on Slash's pants. He reached down to retrieve his sword.
When Grell stabbed him, it broke the pixie's spell.
After the invaders began killing us, we sent a group to Strom's cave to try to bargain with them. We offered to share the cavern or even to leave the mountain altogether. Those ogres returned the next day, enslaved. They killed dozens of us before we managed to stop them. I cracked my own cousin's skull with a club and he remained a slave of the pixies until the last breath left his body. How can you be so certain this one is free? They want us dead, Jig Dragon Slayer. Only when this mountain belongs entirely to the pixies will they feel safe.
Ugh. Aunt Trockle, the hobgoblin is stirring.
I see that.
The ogre stepped closer, forming a partial circle around Slash, with Jig crouched near his feet.
Oh, my chest feels like Vika sat on it. What?
Slash's fingers touched his bloody vest. His eyes widened, and he sat upright.
Which one of you ugly blue-skinned rat-eaters stabbed me?
Slash looked around, and his eyes fixed on Jig. Jig glanced down. Hobgoblin blood covered his arms and sleeves. And if that weren't incriminating enough, his sword was dripping with the stuff.
You did this!
Wait, I didn't! Oh, dung.
Slash took two steps, and then the color faded from his cheeks. He stared at the blood on Jig's clothes.
I hate goblins.
With that, he dropped to his knees and passed out. Trockle reached over to pluck the bloody sword from Jig's hand.
I think you might be right. I've yet to see a pixie-charmed slave faint. Doesn't seem to be an enchanted blade. Magical steel wouldn't tarnish like this.
Trockle handed the sword back to Jig.
Do you mind if we tie him up before he wakes up and tries to kill me again?
Trockle produced a thick coil of what appeared to be grey string and handed it to Arnor. He shoved Slash onto his stomach, then began binding his arms and legs.
Are you sure that stuff is strong enough to hold a hobgoblin?
This is elven rope. Got it from Strom's lair. Thin as string, but strong enough to hold four ogres.
Jig stared at his sword, wondering if he should stab Vika as well. He glanced around.
Does anyone know where Vika went?
There was no sign of Vika. She must have fled while they were busy stabbing and saving Slash.
I should have stabbed them both.
How you brought the pixies down upon us?
Sorry.
Trockle turned to Jig, and he raised the bloody sword. She shook her head.
Killing you wouldn't help us now. Go fight the pixies, if you can. You might buy us a brief head start. Or if you prefer a quicker death, we can...
We'll fight the pixies.
Trockle turned to Arnor.
And as for you and your cousin, you're going to be on dung drying duty for the next month.
Both ogres shot hateful glares at Jig as they left. Grell and Braff looked at Jig. Any other goblin would have killed Slash and Vika the moment they learned of the pixie spell. Because of Jig, Vika had escaped to warn the pixies.
You goblins are so quick to deal out death. What happens when you err? Some deserve death, it's true. But can you restore life to those who don't?
Well, it was pretty gross, but...
That's not what I meant.
I'm a goblin, remember? We don't care who deserves death and who doesn't. We care about not getting killed ourselves.
Will you just go fight the pixies?
Right. Braff, would you wake Slash up?
Vika kept her free hand on the rock as she hurried through the tunnel. There was nothing quite like watching someone run a sword through your traveling companion to help you shake off the last vestiges of unconsciousness. Vika turned around. Maybe she should go back. Jig might try to hide and flee from battle, but she was Vika. She had the power to defeat ogres and goblins both. All she lacked was her staff. Vika was no longer the helpless fool everyone thought she was. She would go back there and show Jig Dragonslayer what real magic could do. She would... She glanced at her legs, which refused to budge. She pinched her thigh and winced. Why couldn't she move? She tried an experimental step backward toward the bottomless pit. Her legs obeyed, but when she tried to go forward again, her muscles went rigid.
What's wrong with me?
She turned around and tried walking backward, and again her body rebelled.
Trying to fight Jig Dragonslayer will get you killed, either by Jig himself or by the pixie searching for him.
One hand reached up to touch Vika's lips. That was her voice, but it certainly didn't sound like anything she would say. Though it was a reasonable point.
Jig means well, but he's going to get every last goblin killed.
It was her mouth. Her voice. Her teeth that nearly pierced her fingers when she grabbed them and tried to stop herself from talking.
Oh, what's going on? Currently, you're standing in a tunnel with your fingers in your mouth. Who are you? I'm not budging until I get some answers.
Fine. My name is Snixley. I'm the guy who helped you cast that illumination charm on your hobgoblin friend. The one who guided you through the levitation spell. The one who helped you take control of that bat before he could eat you. I'm the guy trying to save your life, who can teach you far more powerful magic than anything you've done so far. But only if you get out of there. It's much more difficult to teach the dead.
From the direction of the pit, a faint purple light began to fill the tunnels.
Pixies! The pixie following us was pink, not purple. Which means there's probably a second pixie. Lights combine into new colors. Don't you goblins know anything? If they're sending another pixie out into your world, they must really want your friend Jeg. Why him? Look, if I promise to answer your questions, will you please get out of the tunnel? We passed a crevasse near the floor a little way back. You can hide down there. Heroes don't hide. If these pixies are coming for Jeg, they won't expect me. I'll have the element of surprise. Now I'm sure that will be a tremendous comfort when your bones begin to grow through your skin. Look, no matter how surprised they are, they'll either kill you on the spot, or they'll wrest control from me and make you fling yourself into the pit or slam your own head against the wall until your skull cracks. You can fight me, but you won't be able to resist them. Is that really how you want to meet your end? I can... No, you can't. Not yet, at least. You can't save your people if you're dead. Do you really think the pixies would send anyone but their strongest warriors to hunt in your world?
Reluctantly, Vika allowed Snixley to take control of her legs, hurrying back a short distance. A smell like damp seaweed marked the place. She lay flat on the ground, feeling the outline of the opening, an irregular crack on the edge of the floor. She hadn't even noticed it before. Snixley must have been attuned to her senses for some time. She should fit, though it would be tight. The ground beyond angled sharply downward. The crevasse extended up as well. She pulled her cloak tight around her body and slipped her feet into the hole.
Goblins have a rule about surviving strange tunnels. A rule for figuring out which ones are dangerous. What rule is that? They're all dangerous.
Vika scooted deeper, grimacing as her hips and stomach scraped the rock. By now, the approaching pixies were bright enough for her to distinguish the individual colors. The left side of the tunnel was more pink, while the right was bluer. If they found her here, wedged halfway into a hole, they wouldn't even need to attack. She would die of humiliation. The soles of her boots touched the far side of the crevasse. She squeezed her fingers in next to her stomach and pulled. Her feet searched for traction, anything she could use to help drag herself through. Her hand slipped, scraping skin from her knuckles. Gritting her teeth, she reached down and tried again, straining and tugging. The edge of the crevasse scraped her stomach as she finally slid inside. She clung to the rock as her feet searched for traction. The crack fell away at an angle, passing underneath the tunnel. Water trickled along the bottom. Already it had begun to soak into her cloak.
They're almost here.
Without warning, Vika's hands relaxed. Only Snixley's control of her jaw kept her from screaming as she slid into the darkness. She stopped moving almost at once as her legs jammed into the rock. Cramped as it was, it would be nearly impossible to really fall. The hole dropped more sharply here. She lay on her stomach, staring up at a crack of light with one leg dangling into the drop-off. The other pressed against the rock, bracing her in place. As the pixies passed, their lights briefly illuminated the crevasse. Water and brown sludge covered the rock. A quick glance showed that the same sludge now covered her cloak and boots. She waited until the light disappeared, then pushed herself up.
What are you doing? The pixies are gone. I'm getting out of here. There will be others. Pixies and worse. They'll even be more vigilant now that the Queen has awakened. All they care about is eliminating every possible threat to the Queen's safety. The Queen? She came over before, asleep in a shell of magic to protect her from the shock.
This place is so warm and dry. Even with all of the changes below, the transition will be quite a shock. But soon she should be ready to leave the dragon's cave. She might already be on her way. That's why they must capture Jig Dragon Slayer.
Why does everyone...
This place isn't safe. We'll have to go deeper. Then we'll talk.
The water was cold enough to chill her hands and arms, and her sodden cloak was beginning to weigh her down. Gritting her teeth, she pressed her hands against the rough stone and lowered herself farther, searching for footholds in the algae-slipped stone. Her fingers slipped. She dropped hard, landing in a shallow puddle on a ledge. The rock fell away by her ankles.
We're deeper. The tunnel slants back down toward the pixie cavern. If we're lucky, we can just follow the water all the way home. We're running away from two pixies, so we can drop in on a whole army of pixies. Most will be busy preparing to escort the young queen to her new home. This place still isn't safe for her. There are a few ogres roaming free, not to mention you goblins and hobgoblins. But no pixie queen likes to wait. Everyone will be concentrating on her, so depending on where this drainage crack leads, we should be able to get you out unnoticed. Why do they want Jeg?
Vika felt Snixley taking control of her hand, running through the familiar motions of the binding spell. She recognized the enchantment. He was trying to create light.
It's no good. Without a source of light, the spell won't...
Her fingers began to glow from the inside with a soft green light. The bones and veins in her hand appeared as dark shadows.
That is why they wish to capture Jig Dragonslayer. That is why they would want you as well, if they knew what you could do. They would? They want us to make light? I wouldn't think that was a problem for pixies. The magic of your world follows different rules. Your magic is richer, full of power, but also rigid. Learning to manipulate magic here is like learning to breathe stone. We can learn faster if we have a practitioner of your magic. You're one of them, aren't you? I used myself as the light source.
The dragon's cave, when she and Slash had gone to spy on the pixies. The pixie who found them in the tunnel had been this exact shade of green. But she remembered defeating him. She had told the others how she bested him.
You changed my memories from Straum's cave. No, you did that all by yourself. You swung at me with your staff. That's when I cast my spell. By the time you got back to the others, you must have convinced yourself you'd killed me. We control the body, not the mind. We can't touch your thoughts or emotions. Well, the Queen can. But not the rest of us.
I remember hitting you, and then...
Your staff only brushed the tip of my wing. Then you turned around and dragged your friend out of the tunnel.
He's not my friend.
That's why Grell stabbed Slash. They knew you were controlling us.
They must have.
Jig's smarter than I realized.
Why did you let us go? Why not turn us over to your queen when you had the chance?
I'm not strong enough. If I tried to force you both, I was afraid you'd break free. I thought I'd let you and the hobgoblin go back so I could try to learn more about you. Maybe find something that would help me earn the queen's respect. She was so depressed at the thought of leaving her home. I never imagined you held the key to this world's magic.
That's why you wanted me to hide from the other pixies, so you could keep me for yourself.
If I bring you to the queen, she'll reward us both. Vika, right now they mean to cleanse the mountain, to kill every last hobgoblin and goblin. Come with me, and maybe we can show her she doesn't have to kill you. She may let your people leave peacefully.
I don't like the sound of that may.
Look at what I've already shared with you. Imagine what else we could accomplish. You can tap into the magic of your world. I can teach you to use that power to save your people. Jig Dragonslayer wants to fight us. The Queen won't like that. She'll order you all killed. She'll send more pixies up into the tunnels to...
I thought you couldn't use your magic here. Our tunnels should be safe.
Oh, I couldn't. But the strongest warriors can wrap a bit of that magic around themselves when they leave the safety of our home. It's like a magical blanket. They have enough power to fight you goblins, at least.
Eventually, our magic will fill this entire mountain. Then all your people will be destroyed. Unless you help me.
I know what you're doing. This is the temptation of the hero.
The what?
Joska wrote all about it. This is the part of the descent where the hero is tempted away from the path, drawn by promises of power and glory. You're trying to trick me into betraying my companions.
The same companions who wanted to stab you in the back.
That's a good point.
We need you, Vika. There's a limit to the power we can bring from our own world. We're exiles, everyone, and we would be killed if we tried to go back. We must learn to live in your world. Help us, and you could be the savior of our people, and yours as well. What's that?
Tunnel cat. Can you take control of the tunnel cat, like you did with the bat?
No. The bat was stupid and frightened, both of which made it vulnerable to my magic. I doubt this beast shares those weaknesses.
No.
I might be able to help another way, but you have to choose. Save us. Save our queen. In return, I can save you and I can help you save your people. If not, you and the rest of the goblins will die.
Vika fumbled for her books.
Wait, you said you were exiled. This is hardly the time to catch up on your reading.
Vika ignored him, flipping through the path of the hero until she came to the appendices. She read by the light of her hand.
Appendix A, 100 heroic deeds and triumphs. Number 42, saving a village from invasion. The goblin lair isn't exactly a village, but I think fighting off a pixie invasion would count.
What are you doing? I told you, if you try to fight us, you...
Shut up and listen to this. Aiding a banished prince or princess to regain his or her throne is number 37.
37?
Do you know what this means? Helping your exiled queen is even more heroic than trying to save the goblins. Joska says so himself.
Does that mean you'll help us? Can we fight the tunnel cat now?
Sure.
Put your hand into the water.
Vika obeyed. Snixley gave her an extra push, thrusting her hand forward until her fingers smooshed into the wet, fibrous mass of algae. The slime and water shone green with the light emanating from her hand. She twisted her head, trying to see into the darkness below. She couldn't see the tunnel cat, but she could hear it making its way toward her.
All right. I think we need to cast another binding. That's the key, you realize. Back home, we're constantly tied into the magic, but here...
You think? You don't know?
Do you have a better plan?
Scowling, Vika relaxed and allowed Snixley to trace a quick binding. Lines of magic wove from her fingertips into the algae, knitting them together.
Excellent. Now push, like so, joining your power to the very life of the algae.
Her hand flexed, and a bubble of magic pulsed outward from her palm.
It feels like I'm farting through my hand.
You should have been a poet.
The tunnel cat's nose poked up through the darkness, surrounded by a halo of long white whiskers. A pale face stared up at Vika, the pink eyes never blinking. A new sensation flowed through her hand and arm, a cool, calm feeling, as if the water were trickling over her own body, refreshing and re-energizing her flesh. She was feeling what the algae felt. The cat climbed closer. Muscles twitched along its back as it shifted its weight, searching for the next hold.
You're bound to the plant. Forget the clumsy second-rate sympathetic magic you were doing with that levitation spell. This is pure power. The magic is an extension of your body, and the algae is an extension of your magic. Now reach out and grab that tunnel cat before he rips your legs off.
Grab it how? Less thinking, more doing.
Before Vika could react, Snixley took control of her feet and yanked them from the wall. She began to slip. Vika grabbed the algae, and the algae grabbed her. Slime coated her fingers and wrists. Even as her legs kicked the air, the sludge tightened its grip. Hair-thin tendrils coiled around her fingers, stronger than any rope.
Excellent. Now do the same thing to that beast below.
Shut up.
Vika could feel the cat now as it crept through the slime. Each time a paw pressed into the algae, she felt it on her own skin. The tail tickled as it lashed through the water. The next time that tail splashed into the water, Vika grabbed it. A great mass of brown plant matter clumped onto the tail and held fast.
Don't let go!
Stupid pixie, as if she couldn't figure that much out on her own. Vika fought to hold on. Slime crept farther up the cat's tail, tendrils weaving through fur and clamping around the bones and joints beneath. By now, the tunnel cat was clinging to the rock with all four paws, pulling and twisting to escape. It twisted its head, bending its spine nearly double to bite at its own tail. Vika reached out, using another bit of algae to pluck several whiskers from its face. That was too much for the poor tunnel cat. Fur ripped free as it dropped away. It fled down into the darkness.
Not bad! We'll have you commanding the elements and smiting your enemies in no time. Do you think I should have a new name? Joska says a lot of powerful wizards have more than one name. According to Joska, a truly heroic wizard name should be several syllables, often with some kind of animal worked in. Birds are best, but any powerful animal will do. What about Kestrel Shadowflame? Or maybe Alora Nightcrow?
Vika Blowfeather of the Flatulent Hand?
Vika rolled her eyes. Not even the pixie's mockery could pierce her excitement. She was going to be a wizard. Vika massaged her hand, trying to work out the worst of the cramps. Her magically glowing hand was fine. Somehow the enchantment kept the muscles loose and strong.
Hurry up! Why are you in such a rush? I have to get you to the Queen, if she finds out I concealed your presence. Queens are especially temperamental after drastic changes. That's one of the reasons for transforming your caves, to give her a familiar space. I remember how long it took my former queen to adjust after the death of her favorite mate. She ordered her guards to rip the wings from a worker's body, simply because she didn't like the color of the shimmers he had brought to her quarters.
Shimmers?
Wingless insects. They weave intricate patterns of light wherever they crawl, which lures smaller bugs toward them. My former queen hung them for decoration. The bugs are nasty to feed, though. A bite will ooze blood for days.
Why did this queen come here at all? Weren't there better places to invade? Places that would have been less of a change from your world?
No. Opening a gateway is easy enough. The trick is to stabilize the other side. Magic calls to magic even between worlds. The more magic you have on the other side, the stronger the link. Otherwise, your gateway might flash off to some other world, and suddenly you're flying into a flaming mountain or the middle of an icy sea. This mountain was full of magic, especially the dragon's cave. That makes it safe.
Legend says the whole mountain was carved out by magic.
Vika kept the algae twined around her hand and wrist as she lowered herself off the ledge. The crevasse was nearly vertical here.
Best of all, this place was unguarded. Aside from a few ogres and you goblins and such, of course. Jig will still try to fight you. He's like that. If he fights, he condemns you all to death. What if less talking, more climbing? The pixies have probably already captured him. If they bring him to the queen before we get there. I don't think so. Not Jig. Do you see that? Down below.
Golden sparks floated upward, some nearly reaching her feet before disappearing. This tunnel couldn't have been much longer than the one they had walked through before on their way to the bottomless pit. But she felt as though she had been crawling and climbing through the tight confines for an eternity.
We're almost home. I'm not sure where this comes out, so be careful.
Vika relaxed her legs, using the algae to slow her descent as she slipped toward the hole at the bottom of the rock. A thick haze filled the air below. Her feet emerged into open air, and only now did she stop to wonder how she would reach the ground. There was no ladder, and she... Her shoulder spasmed, and her hand released the algae. Vika fell, her arms and legs wheeled madly, and then the ground hit her.
Sorry, I was excited. I forgot you don't have wings.
Vika rolled onto her side. Slabs of ice covered the ground, high enough to completely hide the dead grass and bushes. snow swirled through the air, reducing visibility to nearly nothing. Vika got up and found herself walking as Snixley talked. Hopefully he was guiding her to the necromancer's lair.
Magic is flowing from your right. That should be the direction of the gateway. From the feel of it, you're on the far side of the cavern, well beyond the necromancer's pit. Can you lead me to the necromancer's lair? What? No! We have to get you to the queen! What if there's a way for me to bring Jig Dragonslayer to your queen? You can do that. Can you teach me to command creatures like that bat? I think so. Like I said, I'm not the greatest warrior, but teach me that spell, and I'll bring you Jig Dragonslayer. If you're no warrior, exactly what do you do? Mostly I use magic to... well, to clean things. What do you mean? I'm a worker. I may not be a trusted bodyguard for the Queen, but I'm wicked fast when it comes to getting stains out of clothing. Spills, infestations, anything like that. I was coming to dispose of that dead ogre when I found you and your friend.
Snixley pointed with Vika's finger.
There, that's the necromancer's lair.
Vika squinted, barely able to make out the dark rock overhead. The illusory sky Straum had created for as long as anyone could remember was gone. She searched the rock, trying to make out the spot he was pointing to. Snixley was already casting a levitation spell. Moments later, the snow was gone, and Vika stood in the dusty emptiness of the necromancer's throne room. She untied her belt and tossed her cloak on the floor.
Jeg says the necromancer was a pixie. Probably exiled here. I wonder how long it took him to learn the laws of magic. Can all pixies command the dead? Technically, yes. The magic is the same kind of spell I'm using on you. We don't do it, though. Why not? It's... icky. Necromancy is like wearing a corpse. You need a lot more power to keep the bodies from rotting, or else your host starts to drop bits and pieces everywhere they go. And you always have to be careful not to let your body get too connected to the host. That's bad enough when the host is alive, but you can imagine what happens if you get too attuned to a corpse. Right. Forget necromancy, then. Are you serious about being able to beat Jig Dragonslayer? I can beat him. I have to. It's the only way to save my people and yours, right? Assuming he hasn't already been captured.
Vika didn't bother to respond. Clearly, these pixies didn't know Jig Dragonslayer. But they would, just as Jig Dragonslayer would soon learn to know and respect the real Vika. The ogres didn't leave Jig completely empty-handed. No, they did something worse. They gave him a torch. The ogres had no mark, so they had fallen back on what they did have.
Blech. Flaming goblin dung on a stick.
Would you rather leave it behind? You can go first. Let us know if you find any rock serpents.
What does it matter? The pixies are gonna kill us all anyway.
They're not...
An unfortunate puff of wind sent smoke directly into Jig's face. He held the torch at arm's length. Grell fished a knotted bit of cloth from her shirt pocket.
Here.
What is it?
Sugar knot. Hardened honey candy. It calms the kids down, ought to block the smell a bit.
Grell grabbed Jig's fang and pulled him down. With an easy, well-practiced motion, she tied it around his fang and tucked the knot inside his lower lip. Jig gave the sugar knot a tentative suck. The cloth was rough and gritty, but the candy inside had a too sweet, fruity taste. Better than dung smoke, at any rate, though it left a bitter aftertaste. He frowned as he recognized it.
Is that clack beer?
Like I said, it calms the kids down.
His tongue and mouth tingled as Jig sucked the candy. He could still smell the smoke, but he no longer felt as if he were about to vomit.
So what do we do? How should I know? The only reason Kralk sent me on this little quest is so I'd get myself killed. I don't know how to fight pixies. I don't know how we're going to get back home. Stop asking me, I don't know.
No more sugar nuts for you.
You told the ogres you'd take care of the pixies.
They were going to kill us. This way!
This way the pixies do it instead. Nice of you to save the ogres the work.
They were right, and Jig knew it. But it was their own fault. They were the ones who kept calling him Jig Dragonslayer, expecting him to find a way out of any situation. Even Timula Shadowstar didn't know how to fight an army of pixies. What was Jig supposed to do?
One step at a time, Jig. First you need to beat the pixies who are hunting you. Then you worry about the rest.
This is your fault. You're the one who told me to go with Walland.
The pixies were here whether you went or not, Jig. Sure, you could have hidden in your temple like you always do, but in the long run, you're better off facing them now.
How does that help me if I die in the very short run?
The god didn't answer. Smudge twitched, growing a bit warmer. The pixies were coming. On the way in, they had passed an opening that smelled of soot and ash. He hadn't recognized it then, being a bit distracted by his ogre captors, but the air had smelled a lot like one of Smudge's abandoned webs. Only stronger.
What is that? The pixies are coming.
You've got a plan, then?
I'm a goblin, remember? We don't make plans.
Jig started walking quickly away from the others, who made no move to follow. Good. Jig hadn't gone far when he spotted the pixies approaching in the distance. Purple light slowly resolved into sparkling pink and blue orbs. The pink one flew ahead of the blue. She folded her arms as she drew to a halt, hovering in front of Jig.
You're Jig Dragonslayer.
Who are you?
Penny.
She landed on her toes and stared up at him. Her small face was overly round, almost swollen, with puffy cheeks and a wide forehead. White hair surrounded her head like a cloud. Yellow beads decorated her white wrap. Penny was so small, she looked like one good kick would break her against a wall.
Try it. You're the one who killed the dragon?
Yes, that was me.
There were others with you when you escaped the bottomless pit. What happened to them?
The ogres killed him.
What ogres?
Oops, Drackle won't be happy. But how can they not know about the ogres? Are you sure Vika was being controlled?
Oh, I'm sure.
I told the others some ogres had escaped, but did they believe me?
Behind her, the blue pixie rolled his eyes.
Yeah, you're always right, and everyone else is wrong. You want me to fly along to deal with them?
No, Farnax. We've found Jig Dragonslayer. Our duty is to bring him to the Queen.
Farnax drifted higher, and sparks exploded from his wings as he brushed the ceiling. He dropped to the ground, flexing his wings.
How do you creatures survive in these horrible, hot, filthy tombs? You've barely room to breathe without hitting stone.
Enough!
What does the Queen want with me?
You are Jig Dragonslayer. When you killed the dragon, you opened the way for us. You served the Queen once, and you will serve her again by helping us master the magic of your world.
What about...
What about what?
The other goblins. The ones above in the lair. What are you going to do to them?
The same as we would do to any pest who infested our home.
Penny hopped into the air. She turned, gesturing at a small rock serpent who had been creeping up the tunnel toward them. At first, nothing appeared to happen. Then the snake began to bite at its own scales. The snake's struggles grew more frantic, dissolving into spasms and convulsions that flung it right off the ground. The snake made one last frantic attack, sinking its fangs deep into its body, and then it was still. Only when the rock serpent was dead did Jig see clearly enough to understand. Blood seeped from the edges of the scales. Penny's magic had caused the scales to grow inward, digging through the skin until they killed the snake.
Do we understand one another, Goblin?
You said you wanted to control the magic of our world?
That's right.
When I ran away from the ogres, I was coming to get the power to fight them. After I fought Strom, I found a wand. One with more magic than I could ever hope to keep for myself. Enough to reshape this entire mountain.
Where is this wand, Goblin?
I'll take you to it.
There were advantages to traveling with pixies. For one thing, Jig could do away with that awful torch. Another advantage was that Jig no longer needed to worry about the rock serpents. And speaking of rock serpents...
I thought you didn't know how to use our magic.
We don't. The strongest among us learn to store magic within ourselves. But if we're away from our world for too long, our power will fade. Even the enchantment we use to speak your language would dissipate.
Don't misunderstand her, Goblin. We're still strong enough to destroy you if you betray us.
Oh, Jig wouldn't dream of such a thing. Tell us more of this wand.
A wizard used it to create these tunnels and caves. It has the power to transform people, things, just about anything.
A perfect tool.
If you know about this wand, why haven't you used it against us?
I didn't have it with me. I have a hard time just keeping the other goblins from taking my boots. Goblins have a different view of property and ownership than most races.
A communal relationship? Things are shared and passed along to those who need them.
No. Things are taken by those who are bigger and stronger than the ones who had them.
With the power you describe, you could destroy anyone who tried to take the wand from you.
I'd have to kill the whole lair.
The wind began to increase as they moved toward the pit, and the air was drier.
Why did you leave your world?
We had no choice once the queen was born.
She ordered you to leave?
Her birth was an accident. The current queen almost never gives birth to a successor until she nears the end of her life. But occasionally it happens. Once the new queen was born, exile was the only option. Otherwise, war would have devastated our people.
Why didn't the other queen just kill the new one when she was born?
Both pixies froze. Was it his imagination, or had their lights grown brighter?
Nobody can kill a queen.
Even if she's too powerful, wouldn't another queen be equally powerful? She has to sleep sometimes, doesn't she?
Oh, you couldn't understand. None can look upon a pixie queen without loving her. That's her power. That love is even stronger when the queen is young, when she is asleep or vulnerable. A newborn queen will even steal the loyalty of her mother's followers. She was raised in isolation until she was old enough to travel to your world. The most black-hearted villain would die to protect her once he laid eyes upon her.
As will you, Goblin.
Jig struggled to comprehend that kind of loyalty. If Farnax and Pinny were telling the truth, the pixies would never flee from battle. They would never stop fighting, and they would use every bit of their strength to destroy their enemies. Enemies like Jig and the other goblins. He was so absorbed in the ramifications, he nearly missed his destination. Only Smudge's sudden excitement made him stop and look around. A flat opening near the top of the tunnel to his right. That was the origin of the ashen odor he had smelled before.
There! The wand is in there!
Farnax flew closer to the entrance. Jig jumped and grabbed the lower edge of the hole, then struggled to pull himself up. His boots scraped uselessly against the moss-slick rock. Finally, Pinny grabbed the bottom of one pant leg and flew up. Farnax did the same with the other leg. With the pixie's help, Jig managed to pull himself into the cramped tunnel. There was barely room to crawl.
This had better be worth it. I can't stand much more of these tunnels. I feel like I've been buried alive.
Farnax landed on the ground, and he glared distastefully at the rock with each step. There was no room for them to fly. Jig's sword hilt jabbed his side as he started to crawl. Smudge crouched on his shoulder. The fire spider was warm, but this wasn't the intense heat of fear. Smudge was making no attempt to hide. Rather, he seemed eager to continue, racing down Jig's arm, then turning as if to ask what was taking so long. Jig hoped that was a positive sign. He had heard other goblins talk of fire spider nests, but he had never seen one. Usually, fire spider eggs were abandoned in pools or puddles of water, and the young spiders that survived scattered throughout the tunnels to find their own hunting grounds. But down here, with all the insects attracted to the filth and garbage, there would be no need to leave. At least, he hoped so. Jig stopped to remove his spectacles, doing his best to wipe the lenses on his shirt.
This seems a strange place to hide your treasure. A dismal cave you can't even reach. How would you have retrieved it if we hadn't been here to help lift you into the tunnel?
I can reach it. My arms were just tired from fighting ogres, that's all.
More likely your legs were too tired from running away from the ogres.
Jig twisted sideways to pull himself up and through a narrower bit of tunnel. As he did, his body blocked the light of the pixies, and he noticed a faint red light coming from farther on. The air was warmer, and the smell of ash was even stronger.
Almost there.
Smudge hopped off Jig's shoulder and skittered ahead. Jig grabbed for him, but he was too slow. The fire spider disappeared.
Smudge, wait!
No, this was probably for the best. If things went wrong, Smudge would be safer away from Jig. Still, as Jig pulled himself along, a hard lump filled his throat. Smudge had been his companion for so many years, and now the stupid fire spider had abandoned him. Jig crawled past a drop in the tunnel and looked up. The cave was larger than he had imagined, and it was full of fire spiders. Hundreds of webs stretched across the walls and ceiling, dotted with dried bugs of every size, from tiny gnats to a green moon moth as big as Jig's hand. There were so many spiders that their combined heat and magic actually generated the red light he had seen, just enough to attract more insects.
How far must we travel? I feel like these tunnels are shrinking around me.
Fire spiders twitched and crawled in response to her voice, some crawling deeper into their webs, others moving toward the source of the sound. Jig searched for Smudge, wondering if he would even know his own spider from the rest.
We're here.